I'm Bill Littlefield. Ah, the final days of December. Time for holidays, sure, but really, it's time for the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, and the Camping World Independence Bowl, and nobody would mess with traditions like that, would they? That's first on this week's Three Stories You Should Know. Joining me are Sports on Earth's Will Leach via Skype and WBUR's own Shira Springer. Welcome back.
Hello.
Hello.
As I understand it, the goal of every D1 football team is to cap off the season with a bowl game. The idea is to win enough games during the regular season to convince the bowl committees that you're worthy of an invitation. Otherwise, the boosters would squeal. This year, two of the nation's most prominent college players, Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey, both future pros, have elected to sit out the bowl games in which their teams, LSU and Stanford respectively, will play. Fournette made public his reasoning. He posted a photograph on the Twitter machine or the Facebook machine or some damn thing of his young daughter with a caption indicating that he owed his loyalty to nobody but that little girl, which I thought was kind of sweet. I like the idea that these two players and others have apparently decided that they've provided enough unpaid labor to their colleges. I hope a lot of other players follow their lead. Maybe this would be one more little step towards actual reform in revenue college sports. Shira, what do you think?
I completely agree with you, Bill. One of the things that strikes me is these players are now starting to think like professionals, like business people, earlier in their college careers. And they should. This is a business decision for these players. I think when you're going to be or projected to be a top draft pick, you don't need to risk potential career earnings by playing in a bowl game. There is a tremendous potential, obviously, in any football game to get injured. And I think this is a strong message to the NCAA and NCAA leaders that you need to reform the college system. There needs to be, I believe, some sort of pay arrangement for players, some sort of other incentive for them to stay in college and perhaps play these bowl games.
Will, in the spirit of the holidays, Shira agreed with me completely. Are you going to keep the Christmas spirit going here?
Well, I will always keep the holiday spirit up, even when you're wrong. But you're not wrong on this one. I will say this, though. One, it's absolutely baffling to me how no one seems to care when coaches do this. Tom Herman just left his team before a bowl game for a huge contract, and nobody even, like, questioned him. And he was getting paid. It's a little easier to do this with a bowl game because bowl games are, let's face it, they're meaningless. They are exhibitions, particularly in a playoff age. For me, if we're talking about making change, it's really comes down to the idea of imagine a Leonard Fournette or a McCaffrey doing this before a playoff game. Honestly, it's the same decision, right? It's the same, like, I need to prepare for the pro draft. This one game, which doesn't actually pay me any money and doesn't have any effect for my earning potential, could end my career in one play. The first step is saying, okay, these bowl games are meaningless. The next step is saying, you know what? Sorry, players. All of this is kind of meaningless. And I think that's when you'll get the next change for these guys.
I hope that we see more players follow this trend, so to speak, because I think if we do, that'll force the NCAA's hand.
Will, I have to take issue with one thing that you said when you called these bowl games meaningless. Some of the biggest corporations in the land have associated their names with these bowl games, and the president-elect will not be happy to hear you saying anything associated with these corporations is meaningless. And I think you can expect a knock at your door very shortly and check to see whether your phone is being tapped.
I was going to say, I think you can expect a 3 a.m. Twitter rant, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
First off, I was expecting that before this conversation. I'm expecting it after this conversation. So I think we should frankly all be expecting it.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right.
Yes, the Northrop Grumman Bowl, certainly. When people that literally make, like, they have these gift suites for the players that play in the game. I assume in that bowl there are RPGs. I assume that is what the players get for playing in that game.
Just watch. We'll soon be having the Boeing Bowl in an attempt to rehabilitate their images.
No, it'll never be anything that subtle. It'll simply be the Nuclear Weapons Bowl.
Right.
So simple.
Yeah,
so
that got dark fast.
Yeah, I know, didn't it?
All right, Shira, I understand you've been keeping an eye out for Big Brother. What's going on?
Well, earlier this week, I got to look at the Kraft Analytics Group, also known as Kager. This company focuses on what they like to call fan behavior analytics. That means tracking and quantifying everything from what fans buy at the Patriots Pro Shops to when they arrive for games to whether they open emails that the team sends. I even saw a graphic where they could look into every single seat at Gillette Stadium and tell who purchased that seat, how much they paid for that seat, and whether or not they showed up for the game. So the idea behind fan analytics and what Kager attempts to do is improve fan experience. They want to stop. So, you know, listen, they want to stock the merchandise that fans want. They want to add more game day staff to, you know, high traffic areas at high traffic times. And they want to make, or so they say, make stadium improvements to the sections where fans are less likely to show up or renew their season tickets. But the bottom line is, as we all know, knowing more about how fans behave, what they like, what they don't like, helps the Patriots generate more revenue. You may laugh, you may cackle. This is the way of the future. This is coming whether you like it or not, Bill.
So many things can be categorized that way.
I think I know where you stand on this, Bill. excited or concerned, Will?
I like the fact that the first major pro team that's doing this, by the way, is the Patriots, who are, A, one of the best teams in football, B, with one of the most, what some would say, committed, one also might say committable fans in all of sports. So for me, I think, like, ultimately, for a good team, this totally makes sense. I would be very curious for a team that we'll talk about in a moment. If you went to the Cleveland Browns or the Jacksonville Jaguars, if you can find the fans in the stands to actually learn information about them, and whatever the analytic response or the equivalent of an extended middle finger is, the what they're learning from the analytics. I think it of course makes sense. And listen, to me, anything that reminds fans, because we forget this all the time because we love our teams and we commit to them, we care about them, we're deeply emotional. They absolutely do not feel that way about us at all. They see us as money and as a way to put money in their coffers. So anything that reminds us of that fact, I think, is maybe not the worst thing.
It's the way that they're putting money in their coffers that rubs me the wrong way. For example, Patriots like the phrase "do your job." That's the coach's injunction to his players. If everybody does their job, it's good. Do your job. So then the Patriots figure that out and they say, "Okay, good, good. Let's put it on a T-shirt. Let's market it. Let's sell it." And as far as calling people who don't show up for games,
yeah.
Hey, it's my business whether or not I show up for the game. I bought the ticket. I put the money in your pocket. If I decide to take a nap that afternoon, it's nobody's business. Business that, but my own.
I'm gonna take the opposite side on this. So much for the Christmas and holiday spirit here.
I think I've destroyed the Christmas
I think
holiday
you have.
Spirit with that mini rant.
You've done your job, Bill. But here's what I think. Fans are staying away from games. They're happier on their couch watching on a big screen TV. So they have to start figuring out what would make the fan experience better so they actually get them coming to the stadium. And to address one of your other points, Will, about, you know, it's interesting that the Patriots are doing this when they have such a passionate, shall we say, fan base. They're planning ahead. They're planning for the down years. They know that the Brady Belichick era is going to come to an end sometime soon, and the product on the field won't always be as successful as it is now. So they're trying to build up this bank of customers that they can call
upon. They're trying to figure out how to sell a bad product as successfully as they're currently selling a good product. Have I got that right?
Yeah, yes. Listen, I don't think we need a reminder that it's a business, but pro sports is a business.
Last week on this segment, we talked about an exceptional example of mediocrity, if there can be such a thing, in the NFL, and that was former Rams coach Jeff Fisher. This week, more NFL hilarity, right, Will?
I thought I would try to keep things light by talking about the worst franchise in North American professional sports. Now, these days, people tend to think it's Cleveland. Cleveland Browns are they have not won a game this year. They've completely bottomed out. They're a terrible team. But I think the thing about Cleveland is they have very passionate fans. Their people are going to care. And they also have a plan. They have a good front office right now. To me, the actual saddest team in the NFL is the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jacksonville Jaguars fired Gus Bradley, their coach. Here is my favorite stat. J.J. Zachariasen from NumberFire came up with this number. Bill Belichick, the aforementioned Bill Belichick, the just do your job Bill Belichick, the hey, you are a great and wondrous leader, President-elect Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick could go 0 for 16 0-16 for 41 consecutive seasons and still have a better winning percentage than Gus Bradley did as Jacksonville Jaguars coach. What's funny about this is I did a little Sports Illustrated video piece about this and went up on their website. It got around. It's kind of funny. This morning, I'll have you know that that the mayor of Jacksonville has called me out on Twitter, said that I can, quote, pound sand. Now, I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I would like to take this moment to formally apologize to the mayor of Jacksonville for the fact that the Jaguars play in this town.
Can I try to inject some holiday spirit and hope?
Yes, yes.
For all those people who are, you know, listening in Jacksonville and now, you know, crying in their, I don't know, what do you cry in, your figgy pudding?
If you're a character in a Dickens novel, perhaps you do.
I don't know. So, you know, on the plus side for the Jaguars, I've been told they're going to have $39.75 million worth of salary cap space, which will be the second most in the league behind only Cleveland. That's good news, right?
I'm sure they can buy very many attractive hats.
Lots of money to spend.
All right.
And they're going to have a top five draft pick. You know, I mean, there's hope, right, Will?
If there's one thing that Jacksonville has a history of, it is having top five draft picks.
Yes, I think this is going to be something like the sixth consecutive year they're going to have a top five draft pick. But, you know, they can have hope, too.
Of course. What other choice do you have?
It's almost the new year, we wish them better, right?
Well, I'm seeing the Las Vegas Jaguars in the near future. Uh-huh.
Well, then I'm going to get their mayor mad at me.
My guests for this week's Three Stories You Should Know have been Sports on Earth's Will Leach and WBUR Shira Springer, who also contributes to the Boston Globe. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy holidays.